So normally we have a cold intro to kind of go into the show and something funny, lighthearted, and whatnot. But shit's getting real, man. And the question right now is America falling apart, or is it kind of always been this way? And we have a lot of things that I kind of want to just jump right into. So no funny cold open. We're just going to fucking go right into the show. Hit the fucking music. Let's do this.
The Social Nuisance Podcast.
Oh, shit. Okay, bitches, you guys are going to be mind blown.
Oh, we're going to town.
Downtown.
We're going to town. Yeah. They're podcasting.
We're podcasting right now.
Social Nuisance.
Social Nuisance Podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
All right, hello and welcome to the Social Nuisance Podcast, your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick-in-your-face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. Subscribe and leave us a five-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Pound Town grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do and want to become a short sponsor, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance and we'll shout out whatever the hell it is you want us to shout out. My name is Imagine, and joining me as always, a man who is ready to sub in for the NBA any minute now, Motion.
Yeah, dude, most people think I'm pretty much an athletic scab.
Just fucking right? Ready to go.
It's a scab, right? Who breaks the boycott lines?
But yeah, the thing is, people are calling it a boycott. People are calling it a protest. It's a strike, right? It's kind of a strike. Let's just call a spade a spade.
I didn't even read into it. Like, I'm so fed up with the NBA right now, like, they live in a resort, are getting paid millions of dollars to put on a show. And
you're not alone on that. Joshua on Facebook said, NBA is making a bad move, I think. While I understand any teams / players' right to choose not to play and their reason, but for the NBA, it is a business to cancel games and not call a team's sit out a forfeit is a bad move, in my opinion.
Yeah, I didn't even read into like exactly what's going on, so I shouldn't really be speaking on it. I don't know if it's a player strike or NBA is doing it as a whole, or I don't really know how it's going at all. But it's like, shut up and take off your shirts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally understand where you came from. It's a developing story. And like I said, there's a lot of things I want to get into. NBA is one of them, and it's quite interesting. So this is kind of what I understand the perspective is. Today, the Milwaukee Bucks were supposed to play a playoff game. Maybe about 10, 15, 20 minutes before the game, the team decided we're not playing at a protest in regards to, I forget his name. I believe it's Mr. Blake, James Blake. I don't know.
Okay.
The dude who was
shot six times, right?
In Wisconsin? Shot six times in Wisconsin. In relation to that situation, the Milwaukee Bucks have decided not to play the game. And that began a domino effect with the other players and teams for the evening and the scheduled games for the playoffs tonight decided also they were not going to play. And just a moment ago, we were talking offline. And I was like, oh, shit. You're like, what? Just a moment ago, it seems the Lakers and the Clippers have decided that they're not going to play for the rest of the season as well. They're just done. In response to the ongoing concerns of racial inequality as well as criminal justice from the police. So developing story from the NBA. And, you know, my initial thoughts is just kind of like, fuck, well, this is crazy. Like the entire NBA, the players at least, are just like, no, we're done. We're not going to participate in this shit anymore. We are that serious about the issues at hand, and we're going to throw our weight behind getting shit done. And the Milwaukee Bucks said that they are protesting to get the legislature back to work to address their concerns as a team. And I kind of get it. I kind of support it. You know, I feel like you have numerous players, coaches, whomever, within the sport of basketball, continuously speaking out with the Breonna Taylor hats, the I Can't Breathe shirts, the press conferences that are continuously redirected towards social issues, and everyone just kind of be like, okay, cool, you know, they're talking about it. And now they're stepping it up and they're saying, no, we are serious and we're just not going to fucking play because this is fucking horseshit.
Well, doesn't the effect of that end up like ass backwards? Because
how so?
If they were using all these platforms to speak out on all these injustices, doesn't tapping out for the season take away all that time? All that ability to be in the press, to be talking about these things?
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Totally valid. And I think perhaps they're going all in on the fact that if they just cancel the season and people are just like continuously asking why, then they're continually provided the response of racial injustice and so on and so forth.
You know, I think they have more than a couple reasons, and they're using this one, you know, as the you know, what do they say? The straw that lit the firework, the camel that humped its back or something.
The straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah. That dude, the spoon that jumped over the moon. Yeah. But so the end game here, the goal, what they want to achieve is to get legislatures back to work. Well, what was the...
Well, that was Milwaukee. Milwaukee Bucks said that they did not want to play until they saw action on behalf of the Wisconsin legislature, state legislature.
I would like to know, you know, what's the end game? Be clear about it. Like, what is it that you're requesting? What is it that you're shutting down for? There's a million motherfuckers. There's actually over 60 million motherfuckers that wish they could go to work in this country right now. That would do anything to be, you know, not even making millions of dollars, just barely getting by. And for, you know, I would need to know really what's so valuable that, you know, you're sacrificing all this. And honestly, you know, that if it's worth it, it will be respected. But I don't think this is the time and place to be dropping the ball, so to speak. You know, for the Lakers and the Clippers and everybody else, I get it that it's in solidarity. But what's the end game? What's your goal? What do you want achieved? What can be done? You know,
what's their version of progress? Sure.
I don't know how these athletes, I don't know if it's the money, the fame, or what gets to their head, but you know, the average citizen, I know you and I not so much because we're not so into sports, but they go to work every day, they bust their ass, they come home, they don't have the fucking life that they dreamed about, the things that they wanted, but there's a moment when their team is playing that they're with their city. It is a unifying thing. We all, you know, we come together over sports, and for them to like, it is going to be more divisive in the end, drawing this line in the sand. And, you know, I think those playoffs were important to a lot of people.
I totally agree, because, you know, you saw how many people were just like, we need sports back. When the initial coronavirus occurred, so many people were so dependent on an escape, and sports, watching sports, just like you said, provided that escape, and it provides the ability to just, you know, root for your home team or root for your team and just get away from reality for a little bit. So I think that's a totally valid perspective. However, I'm going to just disagree a little bit and just say, you know, at what point as citizens do we say enough? You know, you're right. LeBron James and the rest of the superstars of the NBA, they're superstars because they play basketball incredibly well. And that is what provides their celebrity and fame. But as a citizen, if I was in their position, what can I do with my celebrity and fame to address these social issues?
Is it really not play basketball?
It's what it's taking a stand. What everyone expects me to do and wants me to do, I'm going to say no, because I would rather take a stand. And in that perspective, I understand that, and I support it.
Now, here's the thing. They were in the bubble, you know, quarantined from everybody.
Right.
So if they're remaining in the bubble during this protest, they're not getting shit done. If they leave the bubble, cancel the season, and hit the streets and, you know, do things and, you know, be a process in the protest, be a part of it and help deliver and achieve the goal that they want, that's a different thing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that's what's going to be interesting to see what happens next. If the NBA season is going to be canceled, what have you. Because, again, they're a bunch of basketball players and they're not really state legislatures. So what can they do? Well, just sit in the bubble. And if they're just going to sit in the bubble and not play and not earn their keep, if I was in the NBA, I'd kick everyone out and say, look, forget it. Cancel, season's over. Go home. If you want to go fight for justice, get your ass out there and go do it. But you're not going to do it on our dime because the NBA is spending so much money to provide a bubble.
Yeah, I think
which again affects all the people within the bubble who also have jobs because of the NBA creating a bubble. So yeah, it is definitely a domino effect. But I think it definitely lends itself to a larger conversation that needs to be had of what needs to be done to address these concerns of police continuously feeling that they can just kill people.
No, absolutely. But like I said, I think it's the wrong approach when you had at the end of every game an opportunity to say what you wanted to speak. And then, you know, by taking this, I think it could have been done better. You know, I see what they mean. And I definitely agree, dude. I've been, right, you know, against police brutality since, you know, day one, you know, a long time. But yeah, but I just think you had such a fucking platform to be true in their face, to be speaking, to be saying what they want. And for, like, from what I can tell, the NBA has been pretty open with them speaking their mind.
Yeah, incredibly. I mean, I got to applaud the NBA as well, taking the total what looks like antithesis approach from like the NFL.
Unless you talk about China.
If you say anything about China,
which
in itself provides, you know, a double standard. But again, a larger conversation, I think, that takes away from what's currently developing right now. Still valid, but larger conversation beyond what we're talking about. And in regards to the Wisconsin thing, and I really wanted to delve into that a little bit further because it is just so fucking wild, man. There's so many variables in play, so many variables, so many factors that need to be broken down. And it's super easy to just be like, fuck that kid, or it was self-defense, and just totally draw a line in the sand. And I think this particular situation is a poster child of everyone calm the fuck down and let's talk about the meat of the situation, the details, because the details significantly matter regarding the situation. So are you pretty well acquainted with everything going on?
You know, that whole situation went 0 to 100 so fast. I'm really not.
Okay. So I'm gonna recap,
okay,
and then if I get anything wrong or you heard something different, please correct me. But I've done a lot of research because I want to get the facts right, and there's so many polarizing emotions about this story that I wanted to get it right. So again, I have my opinions, but my opinions are based on the facts. But let's talk about the facts first. Drew upon numerous news sources, social media, so on and so forth, so I can understand it for myself. This is what I understand happened. So initially there was the confrontation regarding the Wisconsin shooting of, again, I forget his name. Unfortunately, I do apologize for that. I believe it was Blake, Mr. Blake, shot in the back 6 times by a police officer. Beyond that situation, again, police shot the dude 6 times in the back, whether it was needed or not, different conversation that I don't want to get into. We're talking about the militia guy. The protest broke out in response to that shooting, and the question at hand is in regards to this. He's a kid, 17, but he's not. He's a fucking adult who didn't. He's a young adult who made some fucking bad decisions. He's from Illinois. He's 17 years old from Illinois. He traveled to Wisconsin, and the reason for his travel was an alleged answer call to arms by a militia from Wisconsin. So he traveled along with a group of individuals from Illinois to Wisconsin and was there to defend people and property, allegedly.
And let's be clear. He crossed state lines with weapons.
Yes, underage. Okay. I don't know what the age limits in regards to owning a firearm or possessing a firearm. But at the very least, he traveled across state lines with a firearm. That is true. And again, in possession of a firearm at the age of 17, he gets to Wisconsin, is participating in the protest as a defense, allegedly. At some point in the evening, video was taken during the first fatal shooting that the man was involved in. Apparently, something occurred. It's still not known what happened. But in the end, the kid shot another protester in the head. Killed the dude. So he's now leaving the scene. And as he's leaving the scene, he's called out by other protesters as the gunman who just killed dude shot in the head. While he's leaving, a white object is thrown his way. Some people say it's a Molotov cocktail. Some say it was just a bag. Some say it was a rock, a bottle, water bottle. Unidentified object comes at dude. For whatever reason, he stumbles to the floor, at which point protesters try to assault him and disarm him, not successfully. And because the kid was on the floor, pretty much surrounded, he shot the crowd. Oh. And in doing so, killed two more people. So that's where the self-defense claim comes in. At this point, the crowd disperses again because they don't want anything to do with getting shot. The kid then walks towards the police lines, and there are a number of police personnel walking opposite his direction, crossing his path. He has his hands in the air. His rifle is still hanging from his person, and the police do nothing to apprehend him, even though the crowd is still saying that dude just shot some people. Later on, the kid is identified by the internet, not by the police. And in doing so, the police then apprehend him back in Illinois, and now is charged with a number of counts of first-degree murder.
It wasn't first-degree murder, though. It was a weird charge. I read it.
And for those who don't know, first-degree murder is an intent to kill.
First-degree intentional homicide. Is that the same thing?
Yeah, first-degree. First-degree is intent. Second-degree is a crime of passion.
Yeah, so you can't... you know, there's this thing with family members, friends, and relatives that whenever something's about to pop off and they're going to be a part of it, and you see them getting ready to be a part of it. You know, for instance, you know, during the protests, I had relatives put on black clothes and elbow pads and knee, and it's just like, oh, you're going to hurt someone. No, I'm not. Like, if you're doing that, you're going with the intent to, you know, cause hurt.
Right.
For them to load up like that, go across state lines, they were going to do exactly this. Maybe that wasn't the plan. Maybe that wasn't even the intent. But when you load up, drive, you know, 30, 40 minutes, it was 20 miles or something, right?
Sure.
This is what you fucking did. Now, you know, I've seen pictures that supposedly the protesters, one of them had a pistol or something. I don't know. But I don't know any gun owner who is smart enough to rush someone with an assault rifle.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't really believe that a 17-year-old, I know you called him like a young adult earlier, but to me, that's still a kid. To me, you're like a kid, especially boys are kids, so like 25, 26 years old. I know that's not legally, and he should be prosecuted to the extent of the law. And I think kids who kill people have a smart enough grasp of the law to know what they're doing. It's not like a different law where like, oh, I didn't know stealing a candy bar was this big a deal.
Right.
You know, but he caused the hurt and harm that he wanted to cause. You don't fucking drive somewhere with a gun. This is the shit, like, he was probably going to do this at some fucking point.
I mean, very well could be. I mean, looking back at his, like, his Facebook profile and so on and so forth, you know, he's very proud of his gun and very pro-police and so on and so forth. Not to say that everyone who fits that ID is on that cusp, but there is a pattern that needs to be recognized. At the very least, say, hey, there's kind of a pattern here. And you know what just bugs me is that, you know, yeah, you're right. He is a kid. He's a young adult, 17. You know right from wrong. You know, you're familiar enough with your rifle to know that it can hurt somebody, it can kill somebody. That's pretty much the first lesson you get when you have a fucking gun in your hand.
Yeah, the first lesson is
this is going to kill somebody if you don't use it correctly.
Well, it's not even that. It's if it's don't aim it at anybody that you don't intend to take their life.
Exactly. Yes.
You know what I mean? So you don't point it at someone to warn them. That if you're pointing at someone, you intend to take their life.
Right. And I think that's something that he fully understands. What concerns me ultimately, because of his young age, is that he's grown up with so much conflict surrounding you know, American lifestyle, school shootings, racial injustice, the president not helping for the past 3 years. So he's 17. You know, he's 14 when Trump got elected. So I feel like just the amount of visceral that's coming from all over America, not just the president, but just all over America, being surrounded by that and being immersed in it. There's a certain level of dehumanization across the aisle. So, you know, he's going to this protest and he's not seeing fellow countrymen who disagree with him. He's seeing enemies that need to be taken out. And that's what he did. And it's so disturbing that, you know, let's not talk about the fact that he's, you know, made a bad decision, but what brought him about to this point. And that needs to be addressed. Yeah. He grew up with this. This is what his normal is. He's just simply acting on it. Not to excuse it, but let's address the meat of what's going on here. Yeah, and that's one piece of it.
I don't completely agree with that perspective. You know, saying that these influences that started the executive branch or whatever have, you know, put him in motion to do things like this, because with that train of thought, you can go, you know, blame video games and TV and movies.
I'm saying that there's numerous factors that Trump is part of it, but I will say video games are part of it as well. Video games, as far as you dehumanize, it's like, okay, I have the same gun that I have in the video game. I have the same gun that I see on TV. I have the same gun from John Wick. It's just, there's so many different influences that are not being filtered responsibly. America has no responsibility for itself.
And you think that is society's responsibility as a whole to filter those things, or bad parenting?
All the above. It takes a village. And the village of America is just super fucked right now. It's just wild to me. It's just like, it's so disheartening and disappointing and terrifying. It really is terrifying to see the fabric of our country just tearing thread by thread by thread. And, you know, it didn't start with Trump. I'm not going to say all roads lead to Trump, but I will say he carries a heavy factor. But there are numerous factors that play into this situation, definitely, including the protesters. You know, don't throw a fucking rock at a dude with a gun. You know, don't bring a rock to a gunfight. Well,
and I'm not saying they were doing it, but I think the original purpose was to protect small businesses. They were supposed to be lined up, you know, I don't know that that's what they're doing or not doing, so I'm not saying that's what it was. But right. I know that was the call of the militia, right? Was
right.
And how fucking irresponsible of a militia to put out a call to the public to show up armed. You know, the only reason we have a right to a militia is because it's supposed to be well maintained.
Well regulated. That's right.
Well regulated. For you to put out a public call for assistance, you know what? Whoever did that, they bear some responsibility.
I agree.
You know,
Again, this is back to the America has no responsibility for itself.
So, you know, I'm of the position that I think our leadership is more of a symptom of who we are.
I can agree to that. Sure.
And, you know, I think we're just out of fucking pocket, dude. I think sometimes I think part of the problem is that we tolerate too much. Like, most everything fucking goes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I totally get what you mean.
I don't know though, dude. You know, fucking 17-year-old walking around with an assault rifle, which I did check Illinois' gun laws, and it looks like he's not age enough to buy it, though his parents could sign off on him for it. I can't imagine parents being okay with this kid going across state lines with a weapon to confront people that, you know, our country is divided right now.
Absolutely.
And they're in those lines, dude. I mean, how many fucking videos, thousands of videos have come out this year of fights between those two lines? And I just don't even know why anybody goes right now.
I totally agree with you. And I think that the polarized nature of this, you know, I'll go as far as to call it a cold civil war. Would you?
Yeah, we're pretty fucking close. Yeah, it's definitely a social media civil war.
Yeah, I'll say we're in the midst of a cold civil war where you do have two factions, two sides, and it's just absolutely unfortunate that if you're going to go to these things, go there with the intent of understanding both sides, sides.
And we're using tools to fight this civil war, like social media and technology that we don't fully understand. And it's been proven that there's outside sources manipulating both sides on this civil war just to create angst. And, you know, so they're using these echo chambers that are ran by other people to attack other fucking Americans. It's outrageous. I see people, you know, I saw someone today on Facebook applauding that kid. Like, oh, that protest. I was like, dude, someone fucking died. And to be honest, this kid lost his life. Like, he might not be dead, but he's not going to ever accomplish anything. And then on the other end, you know, I heard a Democratic senator or congresswoman or something say, if Biden boiled babies in a public square, I would still vote for him. And it's just like, what the fuck is wrong with us? You know what I mean? Like, dude, you know what we need to bring back? We need it to be legal for, like, we need to do a purge, but it's only slapping allowed.
You're allowed to slap. Light assault. I'm gonna approve it.
Right?
I'm gonna approve it, man. Everyone, we should bring back duels, but like not with guns. Just you know, someone just out of pocket, you're like, look, I challenge you to a duel. We're gonna box right now until someone hits the floor.
Well, you know, I don't think that's gonna go well because I think most of the bullies are you know, I don't think that's gonna that's like when people post, why don't the leaders fight the wars? Are you ready to speak Russian?
Yeah.
Have you seen that fucking dude? He'll fuck most every fucking leader up. Like, we're soft as cotton, dude. And I think we're starting to realize it.
I think, yeah, you're totally right. Again, both sides. Anyone who says that one side is more at fault than the other is just – their head is so far up their own ass. You know, and don't get me wrong. In this election, I am voting for Biden to get Trump out. But – that doesn't mean that I'm all about Biden and be like, fuck yeah, you know, this is, he's going to fix everything and blah, 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 blah. I'm very much aware of how divided this country is. And it's so disheartening, and there's fault on both sides, you know, to the same way that Trump said, oh, there's fine people on both sides. I'm going to say the opposite, where there are fucked up people on both sides. Everyone shares some responsibility in this situation. In some way or another, I'm going to have to call out every American in this country is at fault for what is transpiring. And if you cannot realize that you're at fault, including myself, if you're not at fault, if you can't admit that, you're part of the problem. And I'll be first to say, yes, I've not done better. I could do better. And I'm going to try to do better. And that begins with trying to understand my countrymen across the aisle. I want to go to a Trump protest and go to the Trump side and just, you know, be there to listen. I don't want to argue. I just want to listen. I want to understand.
That may not be the best representative. you might find a group of,
17-year-old militiamen.
Well, or just a big batch of racists.
You're not wrong.
It takes a group of people to go out and like do that, and they're not usually level-headed.
I totally agree with you. I understand the harm that would be awaiting for me.
this is where I come in. Everybody has a sense of responsibility in what's going on. I say we boycott the system.
Okay, this leads me to my next thing, and then I want to talk about this because you're right on the fucking track that I'm going in.
All right.
So I just recently started school again, right? So because of coronavirus, everyone's going online. We're all doing distance learning, and you see a lot of the news headlines. So if you don't have a kid, you probably don't get the frustration. And if you don't have a kid, you're not in college, you're just like, oh, whatever, man. Zoom learning, distance learning sucks. I am doing Zoom learning in college, and I have to say, from a firsthand experience, it is fucking awful. It is horrendous. And here's why. The students who are tuned in have a million distractions around them in the comfort of their own home. The last thing they want to do is listen to their teacher. Number two, the teacher themselves are trying to use this technology that they may not be familiar with. The students are trying to use this technology they may not be familiar with, and there's no fucking tech team that you can call to figure shit out. It's just you and the fucking teacher. And then the teacher is looking for participation, but there's distractions, a lack of participation. That's fucking difficult. So just across the board, it is fucking awful. And Daisy was asking me about it, and she was just saying, so what do we do? And I was telling her, like, most parents are going to feel like they have one of two choices. One, they just put up with the fucking distance learning. Or two, they advocate to send the kids back to school knowing that they may be in harm's way. I said, fuck both of those options. Me, as a responsible parent, I'm going to say, I'm not doing either of those. I'm just opting out of the system. Because the school is supposed to provide us an adequate educational system. And they have failed. Zoom distance learning is not sufficient. It is not adequate, and it is not effective. It's not helpful at fucking all. So I would take my kid out and say, look, we're just not going to do it. You're not going to school for a year until they figure this shit out. And just like you said, it's time to just fucking opt out of the system. So my thing is, what if America just went on strike and was just like, no, fuck it. We're not doing this. America, we're on timeout. We're not going to go to school. We're not going to go to work. We're not going to participate in fucking damn near anything. It's almost a call for anarchy in a way. But I've grown with such frustration that I'm just struggling to understand a perspective that would be more effective. Then let's just burn the fucker down and start over again.
All right. So
I don't know what to do.
A couple things. One, the Democratic vice presidential nominee would have you thrown in jail.
Yeah. I remember she did. She was supportive of that.
She created it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the legality of it isn't all there. I have three kids in school, two in high school, one in elementary. The Zoom learning, it's not fucking fluid, but nothing is the first year. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, we got to figure this shit out. And as a parent, a couple of my kids like really heavily wanted to go back to school. And I put my foot down. You know, I was like, you guys can hate me for it or whatever, but at the end of the day, I'm responsible for your well-being. And right. Like, this shit's not figured out. It's not fucking figured out. It's dangerous as shit. And the way they were pitching it was like, it was changing every 3 or 4 days. And then, you know, like, there is a teachers union, and I'm pretty sure they're not going to just let teachers be put in danger.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. I was trying to explain to them, like, dude, you guys have the fucking life right now. Girls your age got makeup tutorials. They're all fucking like gorgeous. They all have reasons to, like, reasons, ways, and roads to look. Our girls had to figure it out. Remember in high school, girls had, like, stupid-ass eyebrows, crooked lips. Like, they had to work their way through it. You always wanted...
We're all fucked up.
And then now you have school for, like, a couple hours a day. Like, just fucking... And then the teachers have been required to develop this curriculum, like, in short notice. So they're, like, the lessons are, you know...
Lessons aren't there. Like you said, it's a new technology. The research isn't there to see how effective this type of learning even is. It's just like, okay, coronavirus is happening. We might have to go back to school. We might not be able to go back to school. If we can't go back to school, what ideas do we have? And they just threw a big bowl of fucking spaghetti against the wall, and Zoom learning was the only thing that seemed to stick. So they went with that. But there was no real, you know, research, preparation. But even then, how could you, with the amount of time that you have?
You know, and I was
call it a wash and just try again next year. We just take the L.
I don't know how many families that would devastate. Like, there's so many families that schools provided not only necessary nutrients, but childcare.
Absolutely.
Then, you know, we're still the figures on like domestic violence and child abuse during this period. Like, one, they've escalated dramatically, but we're still not, we don't have the right numbers, like, as to how many children are in a very dangerous place at home, and this gets them out for a few hours. But I did want to say, hats off to, at least in our district, they have provided as much as they could to get the kids to do well at home. They have, if you go to the school, like, before or during lunch, you know, they'll hand you lunches, nothing, you know, no questions asked, however many kids you show up with. They've been great about, we didn't need hotspots because we have Wi-Fi, but passing out hotspots, passing out Chromebooks. If you have any IT trouble with your Chromebook, taking it back, no questions asked, getting you a new one. So they have done their damnedest to, you know, to give everybody the tools to learn. But, you know, what we said about Americans all episode, they're just not doing it. They don't make them like they used to anymore.
how could we, man, with the country, with the odds stacked so high up against us? But you're totally right. I mean, the Chromebooks, the support, everyone is fucking trying. And that cannot be lost. The teachers are trying. The superintendents are trying. Majority of good people who are in a position to fucking do something are trying. And that needs to be celebrated. But what we also, I feel, need to do is just acknowledge that it's not working. And what can we do in this situation? Let's revert back to just keeping everyone healthy and safe until we ride this out.
You know what, my friend? You need to watch The Goonies again, because Goonies never quit. Goonies never say die.
A retreat is you lose the battle, but you're not losing the war, right?
Absolutely.
That's kind of where I'm at right now. Like with the federal government, people being unemployed, the government really needed to step up into its role, its foundational role of supporting the civilization that it supports. And it fucking failed miserably with the 2020 coronavirus. And that's where I'm kind of like, let's just opt out of the system. Let's just, you know, fucking control, alt, delete America, you know, power down, power on again. We need to just opt out of the system. So I'm okay with the NBA saying, look, we're not doing this. I'm okay with students saying, look, I'm not tuning into Zoom. Fuck y'all. I'm just going to worry about how I can stay safe and healthy at home. And parents do the same fucking thing. How can we just survive this with our soul intact? Because right now it's not working.
Well, you know, not keeping, especially like young teenage males busy is fucking dangerous. Like you gotta keep 12 to 18 year old boys busy for at least a couple hours a day, or else, you know, they're out in the streets.
That's true.
So, what if this is the only way to figure it out is like this trial process. If we don't go this year,
wrong.
You know, who knows what next? And I've totally accepted that it might not be till 2022 before, you know, is fucking relative again.
I totally agree. And I that's why I'm such an advocate of let's stop trying to get back to where we were and let's just move forward with where we are. And everybody just grasping for some type of semblance of 2019. Look, dude, it's not going to happen. We can't go back. We got to move forward.
Yeah. There's
as scary and terrifying as it is. That's just facts, bro.
But there's a lot of people who put 10, 20, 30 years of their life into building whatever it was that they had, you know, like initially I didn't really feel bad for bar owners. Cause it's like, you charge $5 for a rum and coke. Fuck you. But now that it's been like 5-6 months in, like think about, that's a large group of people, restaurant owners, restaurateurs, chefs, you know, like, there's a lot of people that spent a lot of time getting to where they were, and all, you might be absolutely right. That world is gone. You know, like, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. That's not the argument, but those people aren't going to accept it as easily as someone in your position that is so malleable and able to flex and adjust and open-minded, you know, to the fact that we might need to take a new route. I have.
Oh, no, no doubt. No doubt. I'm not trying to say, like, look, man, you opened a restaurant, you've saved up your fucking life savings to open up the restaurant of your dreams, and now it's fucked. Sorry. Moving on. I'm definitely not about that. What I'm trying to advocate for is the fact that during this time of uncertainty, we should be using this as a time of reflection to really understand what our values are and what our country should be doing. If you're a small business owner and you're risking losing your entire small business, you're losing the American dream at the fault of the American government, get in the fight. Find out who the fuck is representing you in Congress, your senator, your congresswoman, man, your presidents, your small business bank, whoever the fuck, whoever has your dream in their hands, get in there and hold them accountable. Fight tooth and nail. And it's going to be hard because the chips are stacked against you, undoubtedly. But we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard. You need to hold your country to a higher standard and meet the level and the pedestal that we place it upon. And I feel like we're just not doing that because we don't want to. It's inconvenient. It's uncomfortable. It's scary. So I'd rather be like, nah, I'm just not going to do it. It's not worth it. Well, your dreams are worth it.
Yeah. And I don't, there's a couple things at play right there with that statement. One is, I don't know how many, like small business owners or how many business-minded people are in your circle. But there are a lot of people doing that. And there's two things at play. Like I said, one is the person who has done most devastation to small business in California is by far absolutely Gavin Newsom at this time. Two is they're fucking hanging on by a thread, trying to run their business, trying to stay afloat, that they don't have the opportunity to do exactly what you described, you know, which is really what they should be spending their time in half with, you know, is fighting tooth and nail and do that. But there is a lot of movement out there to try to, how do you repeal a governor? What is it called?
Oh, recall.
Recall. But I don't know how real that is. Like, I've never looked into it.
It's not going to be no amount of success is going to, Gavin's going to serve his term.
So, that is out there. That is happening. Everything that you said is absolutely right, and it's inspirational, and it is what people should be doing. I just don't know if they're going to be going, you know, the way that you would want them to go. Right now, most business owners across the country would probably vote to reelect Donald Trump.
You're completely not wrong. I think what's making me hesitate to agree with that.
I will say most business owners is reckless, but it's also representative of 51%. You know what I mean? I would say more than half would vote for Trump. And, you know, I know how many people hate the way that sounds.
Yeah, you're right. I'm being realistic because, you know, as much as I fucking hate Donald Trump, I'm very much realistic in the fact that, you know, he got elected once. Circumstances, whatever they may be, however the chips may fall, he may be elected again. And I understand that's, and that goes back to understanding the people across the aisle. When I talk to someone who voted for Trump and is looking to vote for him again, I want to understand why. Not just simply to say like, oh, well, you endorse racism, or like, oh, your small business is all that matters to you. Kids in cages. That's not that bad then, right? That's what you're saying. I'm not trying to say that at all. I'm trying to understand what affects them, because you're right. Americans have a lot of shit going on that matters to them directly, immediately. And that's what they're voting on.
Remember before this, the last election, the average American only had $400 in their savings account. You know, remember how real that was when...
It's still right now. A number of people don't have
zero. Oh, yeah, don't even have that. Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
it's totally wild. And that's why I don't want to revert to partisan politics. It's just more of a... Look, man, shit is wild, and I'm just at a loss for words because shit is just popping off left and right, And it's not just like news headlines, but like really deep, concerning situations are evolving immediately at the same time. Big things are happening.
I mean, both of us have relatives that we can't speak to because, you know, talking politics went wrong.
You know what I mean? Crazy.
I talked to someone the other day on Facebook, and it's, you know, I want people to know that I'm very ambiguous with my politics. I don't really lean one way or the other. But there was someone on Facebook or whatever, I don't know, that said, you know, if you're voting Trump by now, you're pretty much just voting for imperialism. Like you're voting for, he didn't say like the next Hitler, but like a Caesar type.
Right.
And I was like, or maybe they're intelligent enough to know that's not possible. And you're using fear mongering and bullying to tell them who to, oh, I get it. You're Trump. You're trumping Trump. I see what you're doing here. You're doing Trump tactic. You know what I mean? It's just like when you, either side, when you identify them as idiots or dipshits or, you know, basket of deplorables or both sides.
Right.
You're fucking completely missing out on whatever value or whatever lesson could have been taught. And honestly, oh, like we said last week, if you're calling someone an asshole and you're not, and they're not an asshole, you're the asshole.
That's true. That's true. And that's why, you know, people who are going to vote Trump, I'm just like, I'm so dumbfounded that I just want to understand, because I don't know what's going through your thought process. I can't say you're an idiot. I can't say you're a dick, or I can't say you're racist or whatever the fuck you want to throw out there. I want to understand so that way we can figure out the best course of action and direction together, because we're Americans.
May I commend you on that? Because that is growth, because that is a position that you've taken up over time. Because there was a time and space where, you know, you felt a certain way about someone who said they were a Trump supporter. So I just want to hat off to you for taking that.
That really comes from our conversations on gun rights. Because I say probably our most heated conversations have come on gun rights. And, you know, a lot of the time it was just, I so desperately wanted to be right because I want to save people and I want to help people. But that's discounting the fact that they too want to help people, save people, take enjoyment in the liberties that this country affords us. So in that instance, it's like we're both right.
Yeah.
We both want what's best.
The exact same goal.
And why are we not figuring this out? So at that point, you know, majority of people will not take the stand that you just acknowledged that I'm taking of, well, let's understand each other first and then move forward. Instead of just saying, I'm right, you're wrong, we're doing what I say. Because now we're both assholes. And like you said, Trump fearmongers, Democrats fearmonger too. And it's not the right thing to do. We don't lead with fear.
You know, there was a great line during the first election that a comedian had said, and it was that not all Trump supporters are racist, but all racists are Trump supporters. And that just changed. Did you see the leader, the dude of the alt-right that Netflix made that documentary about, came out for Biden?
No.
That, you know, white boy with the cute haircut.
Yeah, didn't he get punched once?
Yeah, he should have punched a lot more than that, but he just came out pro-Biden. So that line held true all the way up to that guy. That, well, not all Trump supporters are racist, but all racists are Trump supporters.
He could very well be, you know, utilizing the perception that he has and weaponizing it towards, like, well, I'm a racist and I support Biden. So if you support Biden, you're clearly a racist too. You know, kind of like that backwards thinking. To weaponize that back. Yeah.
I see what you, okay.
That's the only thing I could rationally think of, because I really believe, you know, not all Trump supporters are racist, but all racists are Trump supporters, including the dude who got punched in the face because he's a Nazi.
I think,
go ahead.
I think he's holding on to some old Biden policies and statements and stuff.
Oh, potentially.
That, you know, that kind of, he kind of came out as a segregationist so long ago, and it doesn't mean he still is, but I think this dude might be hoping, like, maybe he will segregate us.
And, you know, there's only one person who I know who was consistent with their liberal policies the entire duration that they've served for the United States government, and that's Bernie Sanders.
I don't know. I was going to say AOC.
Well, she's only She's only been there for a little while. But I mean, as far as someone who had like a 30, 40, 50 year career in government, which should not have existed in the first place, but since it did, I can't see how you would be one way 30 years ago and then flip to an entirely different way 30 years later. I can totally see that happening, regardless of what party affiliation you're claiming to be a part of.
Yeah, I think he's had an incredible political career and has been, you know, an asset to America and absolute American treasure, you know. But I think it was grossly irresponsible of him to endorse the Democrats after this second royal fucking.
Sanders?
Yeah, I think he really needed to kind of kick open the door for this young movement and the true progressive Democrats and give them a platform and a place to speak from.
I totally agree with you, but I think the threat of Trump, I'm with Sanders on that. Like the Trump, I truly feel, my personal opinion, that Trump is the greatest threat to our nation right now. So I understand why Bernie would say, look, any other day of the week, yeah, fuck all this shit, but Trump's got to go. And, you know, and I saw a meme the other day, like, it's about progress. It's not about black or white. I'm getting on the bus to get to location, the unknown that I want to get to. There's no bus that directly takes me to where I want to go, but I will take the bus that'll get me closer to my destination. And that's what I feel like I'm doing with each Democratic ticket that I'm voting for. But the real work is in the middle of those elections, midterms, presidential, so on and so forth. You have to hold your people accountable to make movement on the things that matter to you.
And I'm excited about when we do that episode, because you're absolutely 1,000% right. We just have completely opposite perspectives on that bus, you know, right here and right now. So I cannot wait till you and I get to spend an hour hashing that out and talking about it and really working on each other.
Sure.
I had a quick question.
Oh man, here we go. Here come the questions.
Just one. What is the etiquette on skipping like a YouTube ad or a Netflix preview while getting head?
While getting head? I mean, I love head, but I also really hate ads.
Right?
So if I see the skip ad button appear in the corner of my eye, I'm going to turn my attention to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
While receiving. So I think that's just a given because I just fucking hate the ads.
Yeah. It's worse than a text message. Like you wouldn't check the text.
No, I wouldn't check a text, yeah, but I'll skip an ad.
That should be a to be or not to be. Where's the line to interact with something other than, you know, whoever you're fucking with at the time during an intimate moment?
What's okay, what's not okay? That's a good one.
I feel like skipping ads. Like, okay, if someone had a heart attack in my living room and we're like trying to keep them alive and there was an ad up and the remote was right there.
Oh, yeah. I just click it real quick, right?
Besides, who wants to die during a commercial, you know?
Nobody wants to die during a commercial break.
Put that Tracy Morgan stand-up back on and let me clock out to this.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So yeah, it's a go, right?
Oh, skip ads. Yeah, skip ads. Absolutely. That takes precedent. Damn near over anything, I'd say.
But to be like courteous and conscientious, you shouldn't do anything but anal when you're doing anal, right?
Expand.
Like leave the ad alone. If you're fucking a girl in the ass, like you should definitely just leave the ad alone. Like she has something of yours in her ass. Like don't worry about the fucking TV right now.
Yeah, I think any sudden movements to turn your attention away might be a bad idea.
Or does the ad make anal sex worse?
Oh, it definitely makes it worse. No doubt.
We might not be the people to talk to on this.
We have a perspective because we're present during the situation. So we have some type of perspective. It's valid, right?
That's true. All right, so skip that anyways.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll get towards the end of the show. We're going to close out with some you-know-whats. You have any this week?
No!
We had a great conversation. It was like heavy, but, you know, it was shit that needed to be addressed.
I feel like we just started.
I know. Time flies when you're getting deep. The whole episode was a deep one. This was a good one, though.
Was it a good one? Was it a snoozer? I felt like it could have...
it would be a snoozer to anyone who's being an irresponsible American who doesn't want to participate in the perspectives of an irresponsible America.
And you know what? They're the snoozers.
Yeah, you're the snoozers. Wake up.
So if you didn't
unless you're woke, then go back to sleep.
Yeah, if you're I haven't slept in a decade. I'm so woke. I have no you know whats.
You have no you. I got a couple.
All right, hit me.
I got a couple. Okay, you know what?
What?
More men should get vasectomies.
Okay.
And I was thinking about this. I forget what brought it about, but it must have been like a machismo conversation. And it's like, y'all motherfuckers just need to stop reproducing. And, you know, I was thinking about, you know, getting vasectomy. I put it up as a Facebook post because I wanted to see what people were going to react to. And I got a lot of support. Apparently, a lot of men are fucking down with getting vasectomies. And that kind of surprised me. But it's true. Number one, you can fuck all you want without a huge risk of pregnancy. You can still potentially might little bit get pregnant. But the significant risk is significantly down. So that's a plus. Just now, go on and fuck.
You're saying that from the perspective of married man, right?
Married man, single man.
I don't know, because me as a single man, if I had a vasectomy, I'd probably have AIDS by now.
Well, that's a downside.
The threat of pregnancy is the law of averages. Yeah, the threat of pregnancy is what made me jimmy up, not the other things.
Well, still wear the jimmy.
Oh,
but you have that secondary. Not foolproof, but it's secondary.
Yeah,
backup plan. There you go. You're wearing your backup
plan. Plan B. It actually becomes plan C.
Plan V, right?
Plan B. You know the plan B pills?
Oh, yeah.
Those become plan C because you had the condom, the vasectomy, and then you give her a pill.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely not going to happen.
Yeah, no, I mean, vasectomy for me, it means no latex ever again.
Oh, well, there you go. That's one way of looking at it. But I thought more men should get vasectomies, you know. Stop reproducing if you have no interest in raising a child or being a parent or accidentally fathering a child. Just get a fucking vasectomy. It's not that big a deal. Your dick still works. It's just snip, snip, man. You know what?
What's that, brother?
If there is one childhood activity to bring back as adults, it's fucking recess.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like recess. Like if okay, you're at work. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, go take your 15-minute break. And then, you know, you go take your 15-minute break and, you know, you're just chilling in the break room or whatever the fuck have you. But if everyone took recess, it's like, look, man, it's 11 o'clock. Everybody working. Stop what you're doing. We're all taking a recess. And everyone had that mentality of like, we're just going to go have fun for 15, 20 minutes. I think the world will be a much better place.
I think you're absolutely right, and that's a super rad idea.
Just bring back recess. Why do we stop that? Like having like fucking nap time scheduled into your school day when you're like in preschool. Why did we stop that? That was a great idea. Bring that back. But if there's one thing, if I get one thing, it's fucking recess. We got to bring that back.
Yeah, I'm stoked about that. I will say that was 1,000% of the time where I got hurt during my hours of school.
Yeah.
But
did you enjoy recess more than lunch? Because I did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It just felt right.
Because my grandma would put notes in my lunch if I got in trouble, telling me in Spanish that she was going to whoop my ass when I got home. So when I opened my lunch, if I had done something stupid, there would be a note saying, you're going to get shkabams when you get home. And so like I didn't, sometimes I just wouldn't eat lunch just for the fear that note might be in there.
Just skipping it. Nice. That's all I got, man. I think this was a really good episode. Really insightful stuff. And thanks for tuning in, peoples.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. As always, we want to thank you for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, we want to remind you to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. Majority of the stories before they go up in the show, you have an opportunity to comment on, and I'll include your comments into the show. So get in on the discussions. Fucking get in on this.
Even if they're stupid. So don't say anything stupid.
At least it helps the algorithm. Fucking comment and like this damn post.
Yeah.
If you really support all that we do and want to be a short sponsor, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance, and we'll shout out whatever the fuck you want us to shout out. And lastly, don't forget there is power in numbers, and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity for all of us. My name is Imagine. That's the Main Man Motion. And we'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast.
Love y'all.